Now, as getting back to the curriculum, after sharing the patriarchal paradigm, the father, and the loving father, dad and mom aren't perfect, but that office is, and that's why children obey your parents in the Lord has meaning. There's a clause in there. It's not just children obey your parents, because your parents could be tyrants, but in the Lord means that they're accountable to God. Now, up there, Jesus said, "Call no man father on earth." Now, he did say, "He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother." But he didn't say father. See, we have one father. We have one creator. Now, our earthly fathers created us. We were conceived, and therein we are to honor that office. But they could be a tyrant. And so you have to then make a choice. And the conscience is tied, the clear conscience and the guilty conscience. Disobedience is guilty conscience, and the clear conscience is you obey. Now, who do you obey? Yield to the higher authority. Romans 13. Now, in the King James says power. It's not the word dunamis, because power you have to yield to your father. But higher authority is God. So you can go to the Strong's and you can correct that. But what happens is that if we're just tied to the natural, then our earthly fathers chastens for our own pleasure. We will see them, "Well, Dad, you're doing this, and you're telling me I can't do it. Or you're telling me I shouldn't do it, and you're doing it." So that's hypocritical, and therefore you can justify that you can do whatever you want to do. Because your dad's a liar, and so therefore you're set free from his authority. That's dialectic thinking. Well, with God, see, may all men be liars. So you'd say, "Well, okay, my dad may have been a liar, but that doesn't excuse me, because God's not a liar." See, may all men be liars, and God the truth. So children obeying your parents, you don't stop there in the Lord. That clause changes everything. And according to Karl Marx, see, that clause was the problem, because that's required faith. Now, you might have faith in your dad, but to have faith in God's spirit, because dad's temporal, God's spirit. But the system is the same. If you look at systems, there's somebody that's giving you a command and threatening to chasten you, or chastening you if you disobey. And if you reject their authority, their wrath is upon you. See, and so that paradigm from God and that paradigm from your parents are the same, except your parents are just like you, approach pleasure, avoid pain, unless the father and the mother are under the Lord. And then they're subject to their child under their father. See, and so that's why God calls us children to the day we die, because it's our nature to get up in the morning and you draw on the walls. Well, you draw on a piece of paper, that's okay, but then you see the wall and you start drawing on it. It's because there's no dopamine anymore on that piece of paper, and that's all you got. See, God says, "Okay, that's all you got. You got one wife, you know." "Well, wait a minute, she gets a little boring. She's argued with me a few times. I really don't like being around her. She's not stimulating dopamine anymore. I'm not getting any dopamine from her. I think I'll look around for some." And God said, no, it's an issue of right wrong. It's not an issue of approach pleasure, avoid pain." See, and so all the sins of the Ten Commandments, "Have no other gods before me." All the gods of our own making are imagination. See, because again, you don't think about that, but you're doing your homework, and then you start imagining, well, that's your God, because your God is to approach pleasure. Your God stimulates pleasure in you. So this way man creates things to worship. He worships the creation or the works of his own hands, because every time he looks at it, he gets a dopamine rush, a dopamine moment, and that's where he finds his security. His leisure time and his guaranteed sustenance. Who's going to provide for him? "Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory." Does not mean that he's going to just give us a life of approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. Look at John the Baptist. Jesus called him the greatest prophet of all. But he actually said, we're even more blessed because we're in his kingdom. Because Jesus changed the kingdom, because before then it was the prophets of Israel. Now it's Christ in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a building down there. It's not the church. It's not the institution. It is Christ in you, a new creature. And so, but where you come then next to somebody else with Christ in them, there two or three are gathered in my name. His name is in you. See, they built the Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Iniquity, that's what Jesus will say to those who say, look what wonderful things we have done in your name. Well, they put posted his name on the front door, but they said we. Because, you see, it was their works. Hey, look what we've done. No, you can't do anything for the Lord. You know, the only thing you can do for the Lord is deny yourself and pick up your cross. In other words, quit chasing the pleasure, because you're looking, okay, if I do this for the Lord, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get some dopamine from it. And I'm not saying you don't. It's just that's not what you're looking for. I'm not saying you don't get enjoyment, pleasure from serving the Lord. It's just that there are times that you're not. And so you're not basing your day upon how much pleasure or how much pain you're getting in serving the Lord. Because that's not your standard. You put on the whole armor of God and stand. You're not running to pleasure. You're being tempted. You're not running from pain out of fear. You just stand. And you have a loving Father who will not allow you to go beyond the temptation you're able to withstand. And you think, wow, you know, even to death. You overcome to the enemy, the blood of the Lamb, what he's done, the word of your testimony, what he's doing in you and through you. It's interesting. I was just listening to Handel's Messiah. It's all about Jesus. Now, all the music today is about us worshiping Jesus. It pulls our feelings and our thoughts. You might get feelings from, some of the old hymns. But they were doctrine. They were always focusing on Christ, not making me aware of myself focusing upon him. But now it's so feelings-based that, it's a we and us, and it's not about you, it's about us. No, it's about him. And if it's about him, then you got to put aside your toys. You got to clean your room. Well, there's no fun. It doesn't matter. Do you love him? If you love him, you'll do it. If you love yourself and him, and you're trying to make this, two the same, you can't. You can't love God and love the world. They're at odds. God's spirit, your flesh. Everything around you is flesh. By sight, you can see it. There it is, tangible. Laws you can find. You love the laws of nature. And still love. You can actually love the law of God and not love God. It's just righteous in yourself. I don't care if I fulfill all these laws and do the all. It becomes a ritual. There are those out there doing that. So you have no hope in your works. There will be works. I mean, it's just a manifestation. It's a byproduct. You don't sit down and say, well, I'm going to do this and this and this and please God. No. Dad, what do you want me to do today? Okay, I'll go do it. I will rejoice and be glad in this day that you've created. Even though my flesh is going, no, you won't. Because, man, there's no dopamine in this. I mean, you look at what you're missing out. It doesn't matter. Because I love my Father. And it changes. Christ changes your heart. Being in the Lord changes your heart. Well, the world can't understand that. Because the imagination of the heart, it all begins when you're doing your homework and it's boring. God took Israel and put them in the desert. They began imagining. They started daydreaming about the days in Egypt. That's where their hearts was. Were continuously evil. Evaluating the day, looking for the dopamine they could get out of it, and if they couldn't get it, then they were imagining it. Because, again, you're doing your homework, it's boring. You're serving God, and it gets boring. And what around you isn't stimulating any dopamine. People are mad at you. People don't want to talk to you anymore because you have shared the truth and you start to get depressed. The only reason you get depressed is because God's not doing it your way. Do you realize that? If you're serving the Lord, you're never depressed because you're in his kingdom. But if you want him in your kingdom, your kingdom is approach pleasure, avoid pain, you're going to get depressed because you're not getting enough dopamine. See, God, you're not working with me on this. We got to work this thing out together. No, you're his child. He loves you. He's not going to send you out to do something that you cannot do. Actually, sometimes he does. Maybe I have to rethink that, because he does send you to do things you can't do. Because, you know, God, I can't do that. Well, good. I can. You know, trust me. You'll see my glory. I'll get the glory from it. Now, if you could do it, you'd get the glory. But I'll do it. You know, just trust me. Go do it. Just obey me and go out and plow the field. And at the end of the day, I'm going to get the glory. You couldn't. But see, that sounds so greedy of God. You see, God's spirit, and we love our flesh, because our flesh would say, well, where's my dopamine out of this? Well, the joy is in the Lord. It's his joy. It's his peace. It's his love, not the works of men. The world can never, ever, ever give you peace, joy, love. It's only from God. The world will never understand it. Now, when you start going, I feel and I think, do you understand what you're doing? You're trying to approach pleasure and avoid pain. There is no joy, peace, love of the Lord in that. If you start with that. See, and that's important, because what they did with the dialectic, they rejected the Father first. See, the thesis would be the Father. And then the antithesis, and that's conflict. The tensions between Dad saying, do this, don't do that, which aren't feelings-based. And the antithesis would be, well, make it feel good. If I feel good, feel better about myself, if I'm less offensive to others, they'll like me that way. And so, you know, that's I feel and I think. But Dad's commands aren't based on how you feel, what you think. They're just a command. Just do it. And so that gets boring. That there, again, there's sometimes there's just no dopamine whatsoever in it. So in dialectic thinking, they can't start with a father. They start with the children. All of psychology, all of sociology, every facilitated meeting you will ever attend, every consensus means with sensuousness. Ah, with feelings. Of feelings of oneness, we decide what's right and what's wrong. See, and that's sight. It's not faith. Because God revealed himself through his word. And this is why deacons and elders in churches today, actually some of them go in and open up the word of God, because church leadership is doing consensus. And there are godly men who sense something's wrong here. They don't fully understand. Discernment doesn't give the answer. Discernment says something's wrong, and they search the scriptures, and they find verses the Lord just lays on their heart, and they go into these meetings, and they open up the Bible, and they read those verses, and all of a sudden, you know, the minister's not very happy with them. And the group turns on them. You know, why are you bringing this up? You know, we already got it worked out. We've done the polls and the surveys and the feasibility studies. You know, how we're going to really look at it's successful. It works. Look at the other churches. Look how successful they are. We're bringing all the churches together as one. We're not bickering over doctrine anymore. Oh, but I just read scripture here, and you don't want to hear the word? No. We want to hear it, but not here. You know, it's the right place for it. But you're causing division here, because we got to focus on unity. We can't do these projects if we don't have unity. Oh, but I thought unity was in doctrine. I thought unity was out of the Word. In fact, it's the Word of God that causes division. You're causing division because you're bringing it in here. See? Do you understand? That's what's happened. Because the leadership went to discovering truth, you know, facilitating change, because change is always about approaching pleasure, avoid pain. Change doesn't come when Dad says do something. Hey, middle of the day, you're out there plowing or doing whatever Dad told you to do, and you go, I'd sure like this environment to change. I'd like to go to town and get a little dopamine, have a little fun. No, it's not changing. You endure to the end. Enduring is like changing diapers. You know? Not a dopamine moment. You just do it. Yeah, it's required. It's necessary. It's actually showing love. You mean, I'm not getting any fun out of this. No, but you're showing love. See, God didn't get any dopamine out of his son dying on a cross. He showed his love. See, that's God's love. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you think. Even the night before the cross, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. This thing's really going to hurt. Not just physically, but rejection of people you love. The whole world, see, taking on the sins of the whole world. And that's pain. But he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Dad, I'll do it. I'll keep doing it because I love you. See, and that's the love of Christ in you. The love of the Father in you through the work of the Holy Spirit. You love his word and you fear him. And it's not a cowardly fear. It's just that you fear yourself. You know that if you are left by yourself, if you don't start the day thinking about Dad, if you start the day thinking about yourself, you're in trouble. Because you're going to go play. You're going to be approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, and you're not going to have on the whole armor of God, and you're not going to be putting your hand to the plow and pressing straight on. You're going to have crooked furrows. You're going to be all over the place, and Dad's not going to be happy with you at the end of the day. So you know, it's you got to start with Dad. You have to start with a word, and his commands. Let them, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. Father, you give me this day. The next breath I take is from you. No man gave it to me. My parents didn't even give it to me. They got it from their parents. And it goes all the way back to the very moment that you breathed the breath of life in the nostrils of Adam. See, he became a living soul, and we've all followed from that. So this the clouds, the trees, the air, you know, we take them, we cut the trees up, and we melt iron, and we make all these things around us, but they're all from God. The food you eat is from God. The clothes you wear, yeah, we design it. We take wool, or we take cotton, and you know, fabricate, or synthetics, and we do chemistry and all kinds of physical things to it to produce these clothing and the cars and the things we have around. But they're all from God. Everything was created by God that we manipulate. And so this is the day. He created this day. This moment right now is his gift to you. And you say, well, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Wow, there's a lot of pain. I mean, a lot of pain. God, how can I rejoice? Oh, so you're going to base your day on how you feel. Approach pleasure, avoid pain. When I want you to base your day upon me, do what's right. Because at the end of the day, when you do what's right, no matter the pain or pleasure, the pleasure you missed out on, the pain you acquired or went through. At the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow and go to sleep, you can say, I did it right. And you can have peace. Peace that the world cannot have. Because they're out there just numbing themselves out. Because, see, the approach pleasure, avoid pain is never satisfied. There's never a moment of true peace. Because, see, chastening produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's what the Lord does in you. It's in these churches, these mega churches, and noise and busy and chasing dopamine, and greeters at the door make you feel good, and you get the visitor's parking spot the first time you're in. And, you know, they actually, some of the ministers say, first 7 minutes is key. How you feel after first 7 minutes will determine whether you're going to come back or not. And I'm against greeters or visiting parking. I'm not against any of those. It's that those are all tools to seduce you, to deceive you, seduce you with your feelings. Oh, wasn't this nice place? It made me feel so good. And deceive you. Trust us. We care about you. You know what? Billy Graham crusade. He said it wrong at the end. In fact, what they would do, good sermon. But then if your minister went and attended, he would have to put aside doctrine to get along with all the other ministers. Doing the process. Okay, can you suspend God's word to get along with the world? And yet you have to if you worked at the Billy Graham Crusades as a minister. You'd have to, because you didn't want confrontation between one minister and another minister on the word of God. That would cause division. We couldn't get along. We couldn't do the crusade. And then Billy Graham, actually, if you're, came from a Catholic family and Catholicism, wow, you know, the Protestant Reformation was sola scriptures, just the Word of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? Peter, this didn't come from you. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This came from my Father. What do you say in the Temptations? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God, from God's word. Don't change it. You can't change it. I can't put it in opinion form. I can't say I feel and I think, and then you know, might give you my rendition of it, my opinion of it, because it's not God's word. See, we do that. We paraphrase, but you always need to go check that person out. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And what is the obedience of Christ? Dad said, it is written. It's a right-wrong paradigm. Dad didn't say that. Dad said this. He didn't weigh what his father said on how he felt or what he thought in the moment. But you go into these mega churches and you're making decision of whether this is of the Lord or not based upon how you feel. So you're seduced with feelings. You're deceived. Trust us. You can trust us. We're doing wonderful things to make you feel good and then manipulate you. So that's what you do with resources. You manipulate. And if you refuse to be manipulatable, then there's the door. Because His word is not to be manipulated. It is. It just is. There it is. Open it up. Read it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Speak to your soul. From the Word of God? Are you in reading the Word of God? Well, it's a little boring, you know. I've read those verses 100 times over, heard sermons on them. I really, in meetings, I have a difficult time because I start sharing Scripture. I share the dialect and everybody's, oh, wow, that's sort of, you know, it's a little heady, it's over my head, but sure making sense. And then I quote Scripture and I can just see them glaze over. Oh, man, I've heard that verse before. Okay, I know all about it. And they're gone. You know, that's because we've been churched. There's not a freshness, there's not an earnestness in regards to the Word of God. It just shows you we're not in love with the Word or fear God. Because if you feared God, you'd fear yourself. That's really what you're fearing. You know, God, don't let me go off and do my thing. Because I will. If you don't invest yourself in me, you know, the father returns to the child. See, I want dad. Dad, tell me what to do today. And by the way, dad, if I don't do it, chasten me for my soul's sake. See, our heavenly father chastens us that we might partake in his holiness. See, for your soul's sake. So don't become grievous because of the chastening. It's grievous for a season. And that season is simply getting you off the drug. But once you're off of it, then you have this peace. But if you're still looking over, there's the eye. You're looking imagination, your heart. You're still looking over. Okay, I'm missing out. You're going to be tossed to and fro. You're not going to have peace. Yeah, you haven't established it in your heart. You haven't established yourself upon Christ. You're trying to walk on two different foundations, shifting sand and a solid rock. And it's not going to work. It's like standing on the dock and on the boat with the boat parting, you know, taking off. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. This is the dialectic, starting with the children, starting with your feelings. You go into the churches today, it's all about how you feel. Shape the room so that people feel good, you know. And so you have committees, you have consensus meetings, you have, you know, the staff and the, you know, bring in anybody, you know, diversity. You got to have diversity because you don't want one person up there saying this is the right way to do it. You know, because you don't want tradition. You don't want things of the past. It's interesting, see, what Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. His word is living. See, we would say, well, it's the past. You know, I learned that in the past. When people glaze over, you know, when you're sharing Scripture, it's because they see the word of the past. They don't understand it's living. It's alive. It's now. It speaks to your soul, but they're not tied to the soul as an issue anymore. They're tied. Psychology is a study of the soul. No, it's not. Because if you're studying the soul, you're just preaching and teaching the word of God. Because God created the soul. He knows what your soul needs. The world doesn't. Because all of psychology is sociology. All the ologies of men, all the philosophy is about how we feel, what we think. It's of our flesh. It's of the world. Lust of the world. See, lust of the flesh. There's that dopamine. You lust after it. Lust of the eyes. Okay, if I can't get it from the environment right now, I'll imagine it. And if I can imagine it, then I can get the dopamine and the pride of life. If I can control it. See, look at David. Dopamine when he saw Bathsheba. Couldn't help that, by the way. That's why women are to dress modestly. You know, now that was, you know, wasn't he? He shouldn't have been home, first of all. He was supposed to be out with his troops. Just had a brand new home. That was a big dopamine thing. You ever had something brand new home? Boy, that's a rush. There's nothing wrong with that. But he should have been out with the troops. And then Bathsheba, now he wants to control it. Because, see, it's not the object. You want to control the object for the dopamine. So he brings her over, commits adultery, and then to justify himself, because she's pregnant, it's adultery. It's not abomination. See, God just, David was a man after God's own heart, because once, you know, at the end, he goes, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. He understood. He sinned against God. But here's what happened is he killed, I really believe, his best friend, one of his best friends. That general was winning all the battles. He killed Israel's blessing to try to cover up his sin. Is that what you try to do? Have you ever tried to do that? You know, you start with that moment of, if I can just have that. It's interesting. The things that you control, they end up controlling you. If you live beyond your means and you buy something and you just can't quite make the bills, you ever argued? You ever just been miserable? Isn't that thing controlling you? Oh, but I got control every time I come in. I sit in front of that TV or whatever. You know, I get dopamine from it. It controls you. You don't control it. In fact, you control nothing. God doesn't even talk about controlling. It's about ruling. Ruling is right, wrong. Controlling is approach, pleasure, avoid pain. If I can control that gratifying object, it'll stimulate more dopamine in me. But you're never satisfied. You got to have more and more. And you know, you see Joneses have over across the neighbor, they have more. And you start dreaming about that. And then you start spending your nights figuring out how you can make more money to have that. Until finally you're in far debt as Joneses are. That's our culture. We're in debt. Instant credit. 25, 29, 30% interest rate, you know. And it was just instant gratification. That, by the way, come back to the classroom. The moment the curriculum went to the student-teacher partnership, that was Satan with Eve in the garden. Student-teacher partnership. Discovering together. how do you feel? Well, I ought to be able to go out. Well, what do you think? There was nothing wrong with it. It was good. You know, it's good for food. It's good to do this. It's pleasing to the eyes. It desires to make one wise. And by the way, you get the whole group to help you with that. As an individual child, you're under your parent. So he's too strong. Dad's too strong. And so you just, there you are, individualism. Then you're repressed, according to Freud, and alienated from the world. And according to Freud, that was Marx. And according to Freud, you're neurotic because you're caught between doing what you want to do and not being able to do it because you love dad. So there's substitute gratification versus the real stuff, the world. And then, the role of the facilitator in the churches is just change your language. You know, get rid of dad. Quit the preaching and teaching in here. Not one person up and reading scripture and let's memorize it. No, let's bond. Let's share how we feel, what we think about things. And that's what happened in the classroom. It went into the churches. It's everywhere today, folks. Eve going, I ought to be able to touch it. That's how I feel. Looking at it, thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And then acquiring a gratifying object, see, and going into sin. This is why without you starting with trusting, that's far starts first. See, it doesn't start the verse, lean not to your own understanding, because you can't do that. You have to trust in the Lord first with all your heart. You have to give yourself to the Lord first. You have to deny yourself and pick up your cross first and follow the Lord. You cannot control yourself. You cannot control the world around you. All you can do is to die to yourself daily. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's the byproduct. See, unity is a byproduct. Your witness is a byproduct of the work He's doing in you. And you love not this life to the death.